And you know, they brought back some memories. How many of you love that kind of music? Just love that old Southern gospel. Wow. And I don't even care if the words are up there. I just like to sing along what part I know. And I missed a few of the words. I said wrong things at different times, but God knew my heart was right. Wow, that's awesome. And if you have the internet, on the Facebook, there's some pictures of our basketball team. And what I was so proud of at the end, not only that they won, but they had Duke come stand right in the middle of those boys, because Duke is probably their number one fan and has been for years. And they appreciated that kind of fandom. And they took a picture of him, and I'm going to forward that to him so that he has a copy of that. It's just, and it was just the seniors, it looks like, who was around you. And it was awesome. I wish I could have been here, but when you have help helping you move, you move. You do that instead. Well, today is one of those big days for sports, for many businesses, it turns out, for the whole entertainment world, for television, for Las Vegas, for parties and dip, for lonely wives and abandoned kids, for Homeland Security, and for a couple of cities. It all boils down to one day, which they call Super Sunday. Oh yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, churches are holding a soup or bowl kind of Sunday just to try to lure lost folks into the building. But mostly only the frozen chosen will show up and eat the soup and watch the games. They're not really reaching people like they think. You see, lost people seem to prefer a different kind of party. Isn't it sad that people will pay, believe it or not, $2,200 a seat to watch 22 guys smash each other for 60 minutes, and they absolutely go wild if they go into overtime? Will you try getting people to pay $10 a seat to watch their pastor slug it out with the devil for 40 minutes, and then they groan if he takes it to overtime? Are you hearing me? It didn't sound like you were hearing me. It's the truth. That's what happens. But the greatest struggle of the ages, far more important than on a football field, the greatest struggle of the ages goes on every Sunday morning, right there in the pews, and sometimes right there in the pastor's heart as he's about to preach. There's a war going on, and it's not between Lions and Bears or Colts and Rams or Jaguars and Giants or Patriots and Falcons. There's a bigger war going on than that. The greatest struggle of the ages is what's going on here. Between all the forces of hell and all the angels of heaven, the war's going on right now as you listen to me. It's difficult sometimes for a pastor to grab your attention, and then even more difficult to keep it. The easiest thing in the world is to lose your attention. Somebody has to go to the bathroom, and everybody's attention is on that person. A little baby starts to look cute. And they stand that baby up there, and everybody's got a Gucci goo, that kid. And nothing's happening from here to there. That's the war that's going on. And it's usually not a bad thing. It's usually a good thing that draws our attention away from the very powerful words of life. The war that I'm talking about that's going on isn't over bragging rights or a loving cup. It's over the souls of man. Do you understand the significance of that? The only chance sometimes people get to know who Jesus is the few minutes they listen in a sermon. Because believe it or not, even on Sunday morning, there are lost people in the house. They come out of duty. They come because they were told to. Their moms and dads said to come. They come just because it's the thing to do, but they don't come necessarily because they have a relationship with the one they're hearing about. And that's when the war starts. Because the devil is convinced, if he can convince you that it's all you need to do is go to church, he's got it. He's won the battle of the ages. Because that's not all you need to go to church. If he says, you're okay, you belong to a church, you've been baptized, you've given money to it, you're okay, you're not okay. The real truth of whether you're going to heaven is not what you've done for God, it's what he did for you. And whether or not you accepted that. That's why I love those old Southern gospel hymns. Because they preach the message verse by verse by verse about the blood, about the cross, and about what he did for us. It's over the souls of man. Too many saints, even, that come to church, they sit on the sidelines when all of us are called onto that battlefield. Too many saints, I think, are eating chips and slurping sodas in easy chairs while a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul, or it's lost. Do you have echoes of a song when I say that? The Apostle Paul lived in a time when games were celebrated just like they are today, and they were celebrated in great coliseums just like they are today. Some of those games, though, were more vicious and bloody than any we'll watch today. Some involved Christians being fed to lions. Some involved Christians being tortured in other ways by men or beasts. There's a thing they used to call being drawn asunder. And what that means is they take a Christian and they tie ropes or chains to each of his limbs and send those beasts in four different directions, ripping the body apart. And that was sport to them back then. Not so for the Christians. Others in the Colosseums were wrestling, or they were running races in the great Colosseum of Rome. Whether it was a chariot race or a foot race, there was races. And Paul used those events to communicate how you should carry yourself in the real contests of life. And so he would liken the life race that we have with the races that they saw in the Colosseums. He would probably love to preach about the Super Bowl and talk about what's really happening there. Because we know we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities. You know that. Anybody that ever goes to church knows the real warfare is a spiritual one. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 2, he says, "Do you not know, though, in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize." Now, we know in a Christian race, all of us can get that prize because our race is an individual race. But Paul says, in a race, only one winner is going to win the race by getting there first. And so he says this, "Run in such a way as to take the prize." In your race, run like you want to win, not like you've already won. Run like there's something to run for, not like it's a done deal. Run to win. He says everyone who competes in the games trains with strict discipline. Those football players have had practices and practices to get ready for the big game. They practice blocking and tackling and passing and catching and running. They practice it all because they don't want to be at their worst. They want to be at the peak, at their best on that day. And we need to practice our disciplines. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, they do it for a crown that's perishable. Our boys won this basketball tournament, and they came in third in a tournament, and they've got these trophies and a big basketball-shaped trophy. But you know, one day they'll be dust. Those trophies will not last forever. But what we run for is eternal. It lasts forever. Amen. This isn't referring to the rat race of life that you run. No, because you'll never win that race at all. We're not talking about the rat race of life and getting ahead and stepping on somebody's back to achieve more. This is running the race that Christ laid out for you, and it's different for you than it is for me. It's a different race, a different course. Each course has its own obstacles. I'll have to jump over obstacles. You won't have to, or maybe some of you will. Some of you will never have to fight cancer. Well, I did. Some of you will never have to fight the loss of a spouse. Well, I did. Some of you will fight fights that I will never fight. Because your race track is filled with obstacles that are designed for you to get over, not me. But run the race so you'll win it. And not the first obstacle you see, get off course and say, I'm done. We're supposed to be in training for our individual race. Well, how do you train to win such a race? Well, let me be the first to tell you, if you didn't hear it in Sunday school 30 years ago, Bible study, that helps you win the race. If you don't know the Word of God, you can't live the Word of God when you need the Word of God. Study. Don't say, well, I got everything I need in Jesus. I don't need the book anymore. A pox on those who say you don't need Sunday school anymore because that's for kids. I learn more every week in Sunday school when my class is teaching me things that I didn't get. It's about getting ready for the war. How about prayer? That's a discipline that we need to practice. And we can't just mumble a prayer over our food and think that's praying, or at night say, thank God for this day, hope I get through that good night's sleep, and get me ready for tomorrow. That's not prayer. Prayer is intercession. It takes deep groanings of the soul. If you're going to run your race, Lord, I know there's things in my path tomorrow that I'm not ready for. Get me ready, God. Drive me to your word. Drive me to your side. Ministry is one of the disciplines of running the race. If you're not doing any ministry, you're probably not ready for the obstacles in your life. Accountability partners, finding somebody that you're walking with. It doesn't have to be your spouse. It could be, but it might be your best friend, or it might be someone you meet at church that's in the same Bible studies, the same prayer meetings, the same ministry team. Say, hey, listen, will you be my accountability partner? And when you're about to trip over something in your race, call them because they love you. You know what? Christianity is a full contact sport. It's harder than football. Because football, you practice, you play a game, you win, you go home. But in Christian living, it's an every day, every hour of the day, every minute of every hour, wrestling with your spirit, your flesh, and the devil. Christianity is not something that should be on your bucket list. Well, let's see. Before I die, I want to get Jesus in my heart. You have a very, very small concept of salvation if that's your plan. It's not something on your bucket list. It's not something you found. It wasn't lost. You were lost. It found you. Because Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And he found you if you're saved. If God found you, you were found not just so that he could say, another notch in my gun belt. It's something he saved you for a purpose. The reason we got saved and didn't go right to heaven was because he saved us for a purpose right here. And that purpose is to reach the rest of this dark world while we run our individual races. And it's how you run your race that affects how the other people who aren't even on the racetrack. They say, wow, look at that guy, the problems he's gone through and how he keeps overcoming. What a God he must have. And they want that God. But listen, when he's looking, that outsider is looking and he's watching us race and stumble over every obstacle and then get on the sidelines and quit. There's no hope in that for them. God might as well take us home if that's the kind of race we run. We have to be bigger than a spectator. We have to be in the race. Now some of you say, I've been in the race a long time, Pastor. Isn't there any time I can just sit down and take a break? Can I just get me a water bottle and stop on the sidelines? Well, you can, but I've noticed something. Every time I do, I fall behind in the race. How well are you training? Is it evident in your Bible study participation? Is it evident in your prayer life? Is it evident in your ministries? Or are you not training for reigning, training to race? Are you content to be a sideline saint? We call them, in football, Monday morning quarterbacks, evaluating yesterday's worship. Well, I think that sermon went a little bit long. Well, guess what? You were a little bit too short. Should have stayed with it to the end. Well, I think the music was a little bit too loud. Well, guess what? It was loud so you'd hear it. I can't believe it. I was once at a church. Sorry. A little country church. And there were two thermostats on the wall. And I said, why do they have two thermostats on the wall? Well, those people over there, they think it's too cold, and they like to turn it up. And those people over there, they think it's too hot, so they turn it down. I said, does it work? Oh, it works for them. But I mean, does it really work? Not really. It's not wired to anything. It just makes them feel good. That's the way we are. We evaluate things. We decide it's too cold. The lights are too bright. They ought to turn the lights on. We ought to have the Lord's Supper every week. We ought to have the Lord's Prayer every day. We have all these opinions. But we're not running a race. We're too busy evaluating the racers, whether they're doing their job. We had nobody put the words up. Praise God we didn't, because maybe today we had to listen to them. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you're running the race, an obstacle is nothing more than an obstacle, and you jump over it. You ever heard of a steeplechase? They run around to a bush, jump over the bush. There's some water, jump over the water. Whatever obstacles in your life, learn to jump. But you can't learn to jump if you sit on the sidelines watching everybody jump and say, he should have jumped higher. He should have jumped sooner. It's time we started jumping and stopped evaluating the jumpers. Maybe you just don't know you're in a race. Maybe the races are only for pastors. Anybody thought that before? It's not true. The laymen have a harder race sometimes than the pastors, because the pastors have people watching them to help them say, get in the race, go for it, go for it. But the people that are on the sidelines sometimes don't even get into the race because nobody's pushing them to get in the race. And when you're not in the race, there's no reason to be in training. I have a friend who runs a marathon. Does everybody know what a marathon is? It's a little town down in Florida, but it's also a race, 26.2 miles. They have one in Chicago. Over 1 million people get in it. I can't believe 1 million people want to run 26.2 miles. They're idiots. But you know what? Everything's for everybody else. I have a different kind of marathon. But they run a marathon and they have to train for it. They begin months in advance, sometimes a year in advance. They stretch out. They run wind sprints. They're never going to run a wind sprint in the marathon, but they run one anyway to build up their lungs. This guy jogs 3 miles every day. Well, listen, the race is 26 miles. Why jog three? Because he's building up his legs. Building up his legs, building up his wind, building up his stamina. And then as the race comes sooner, he runs longer distances several weeks before race day. That 26.2 miles is 25 miles more than I want to walk. If I walk 1.2 miles in a day, I feel pretty good. In fact, I look at my Fitbit, 1.2 miles, well, you're doing good. Some people say, well, Pastor, why don't you start running a marathon? You look better. I spell marathon and I get tired. The day before he runs this race, this guy loads up on carbs. I do that every day. I'm ready for a marathon any day, I guess. He loads up on carbs and liquids. And then here's something he tells me he does. He visualizes the course. He said even long before he runs it, he drives the course in his car. He sees the sights. He sees where there's potholes. He sees where he has to make a turn. And then in his mind at night, he's going over and over as if he's running it. That would wear me out. But he's getting ready to win. And for him to win is simply to finish the race. He didn't expect to be the number one world-class marathon runner. He says, if I finish, and I finish well, I've won my race. He's fully prepared when he runs that race, with one goal in mind, finish the course. And that's what God calls us to do, you know. Just finish the race I laid out for you. But you know my friend who's that marathon runner, and I pray for him a lot, not to win the marathon, in his Christian race, he's not nearly so well prepared. He doesn't visualize the course. He doesn't stretch out in faith. He does nothing to prepare for the race he's supposed to be in that's more important than a 26.2-mile race. Not stretched out spiritually at all. Not building up an endurance in prayer at all. Same 4-minute prayer he ever prayed. He's totally unprepared for the marathon of the race, and so guess what he tries to do? Like so many Christians, he tries to sprint to the finish. Well, if you get saved when you're about 19 years old and you're going to live till you're 72... you ain't going to sprint that long. You're going to fizzle. And if you fizzle at the finish, you were faulty from the first. Oh, I said that wrong. I got to say it one more time. If it fizzles at the finish, you were faulty from the first. Don't just sprint your way to the end. Run with endurance the race that's set out for you. The Apostle Paul ran his race so as to win. Listen to what he says to his young understudy Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I have fought the good fight. Another sports illustration. He says, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Are you going to be able to say that? When Paul crossed the finish line, he knew success. The question today is, will we? Will you, will I? Today, one team or another is going to be crowned a champion. Good for them. They'll have rioting in the cities. It's not usually the team that has the most talent. It's usually the one who comes, listen to this, better prepared. We spend millions on a game in advertising alone, but we neglect the more important arena, the arena of faith. How much are you spending of your substance on building your faith? How much in watching a silly game. Let me ask you, are you in training for the race God put before you? And if you're in training, how's it going? Do you feel like, wow, I'm ready at any time to take on the next obstacle? Or you say, I don't know how to go the next step. I don't know where to turn. I don't even know where the course is leading me. I'm just confused. You're out of training. You're out of step. Get back in training. Because honestly, your race is different from mine. I thank God I'm not giving anybody else's race. I've been looking in some of the websites that I look at. Some people are going through terrible, terrible ordeals. Young children, old people, people that are going into dementia, people that have lost loved ones, whole families, things that have happened to them with tornadoes that took out everything they owned. I thought, thank God that's not my race. I'm having trouble getting over the obstacles in mine. But God knows exactly what He'll get you through, and He'll give you the grace to get through it if you train to reign, if you train for the obstacle, because whatever obstacle's in there, He's got ready for it. He's ready to help you through it, whether it's my obstacle or yours. But you got to get ready for it. Your race might be longer than mine. It might be shorter than mine. Yours might have more obstacles. And people say, why did that guy get so many obstacles in his life? And you feel sorry for them. How come this person seems to have no obstacles in their life? Well, listen, that's not ours to decide. God is the course layer. He lays it out for everyone individually. Instead of complaining about it or exhilarated in the fact that ours is shorter or less obstacled, we ought to be thanking God that we can help others through their race. But every believer is in a race that God set before them. You know what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus speaking, He says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, not everybody's going to win the race. He says, but only the one, watch this now, who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. What is the will of God for me, you say? It's to run your race. It's easy to find out what His will is. Live your life to the glory of God every step of the way, and you're running the race. But as long as you don't do that and you start trying to figure out your way better than God's way, you got off the racetrack. You're off course. Running the race is doing His will. Whatever He brings your way, embrace it. Lord, is this it? Okay, I'm going through it because You're with me. You'll never leave me or forsake me. I've said many times that the ones who are running well, the ones who will hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, the ones who know they've finished the race like Paul, those ones are the ones who are in church every time the doors open. I've said that for 25 years, and I will stand by that because even in this church, the ones who are really running the race and winning the race, they're here whenever they can be. Now, in a church like this with the doors open every day, it's going to be hard. You can't do every day in a church like this. But you better do it in Sunday school. You better do it in prayer meeting. You better do it in worship service every day you get a chance. I get to say this now because I'm leaving in a few weeks. It's embarrassing that only 30 people show up on Thursdays when there's a lot more seniors in the church than that. People keep telling me, you're such a good preacher. No, I'm not. Good preachers fill the house. I may have a good heart, but obviously I'm not that good preacher. Or there's a lot of people don't care about the race. Something else is more important. I'm not mad. Don't misunderstand. This is not mad. I'm trying to instruct. And sometimes instruction takes a little paddling. I used to do that to my kids. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to say like Paul, hey, the race is over. I finished the course. I did what you wanted me to do, God. I'm happy now. And God says, so am I, my dear one. Come into thy reward. I want to hear that. And we want to do that. We say we want to do that. But you know what? Life gets in the way. You know what life is sometimes? An obstacle on your path. Pleasure overcomes our path, just like weeds overcome a garden. It looks like a garden. It's got tomatoes and beans, but if you leave it alone and you're not working on it, pretty soon the weeds strangle out the fruit, and you don't have much of a crop. Life gets in the way. pleasure overcomes the path. Sickness, family, jobs, hobbies, and commitments, they clutter our course. But listen, if you begin to look at it like those are the obstacles that God placed there for you to grow in your faith. They're not a bad thing anymore. They're just part of the race. And if you were training for it, you'd be ready for it. Nothing would get in your way. Oh, I just got another one to climb. God, what do I do with this? Jump it? Okay, I jump. What do I do with this? Go around it. But ask God, God, you put that there for a reason. Let me grow in that grace in the midst of my race. What's cluttering your course? It's the obstacle God put there to grow your faith. And we instead cruise off the racetrack and talk about getting back active. Someday I'm going to get back active. What a terrible thing to say to God. Remember, He's with you. God, one of these days, I'm just taking a break now, God. One of these days I'm going to get back in the race. By the time you do, you'll be so far behind you may not finish your race. Isn't the time to get in the race? You know what I think? I think there's way too many park benches on the sidelines of the racetrack. You know what a park bench is? It's a place you park yourself. We're getting ready to build a park bench for Martha. Bring in your bottle caps because we're halfway there. You get that in there, there'll be a park bench out there by the playground that's got Martha's name on it. But I hope people don't go there just to sit out of their race. Sit there to watch your kids. That's part of your race. But don't get off the racetrack that God's designed for you to park yourself in front of the television set. Or nowadays, it's the internet. There are people, seniors now, say, I don't even believe in that old stuff, that new technology stuff. But they're on Facebook more than some of the young people are. Statistics show that senior adults are wasting their time in Facebook more than high school kids are. High school kids are playing more video games. That's because we're not quick enough to do that. But both of those things are just getting in the way of our race. Paul wrote to the churches in Galatians. I really like this verse. He wrote in Galatians 5:7, he says, you were running a good race. He's talking to the churches. He says, who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? And here he was referring to those who were demanding circumcision for the converts. The new converts were getting saved, and the Judaizers come in and say, you got to be circumcised to be a real Christian. So when he said cutting in, it was an intended pun. Paul was the master of the pun. He says, who's cutting in on your faith? But we're cut in on our race all the time, aren't we? And too often it's after we were running a good race. I know many Christians who worked for years, 20 years for God, and something happened. They got upset about something in church, or pastor didn't shake their hand, or the music got too loud, or got too cold in the sanctuary, or somebody said something about somebody else, and all of a sudden, all those good years are meaningless now because they decide they're going to go sit in the park bench for a while and sulk. They don't like me there anymore. Well, I'm just going to pout. Get off your pity pot. Get back in the race, because that's where it's fun. It's no fun on the park bench watching everybody whiz by. They're in a race. You're sitting there going like this, watching them run. I remember the day when it was me. Don't just remember the day. Get back in the race. You were running such a good race. So many saints have a testimony. They were first saved, and they were on fire for Jesus, and they won people to Christ, but later on they kind of slowed down and simply quit running. That's too many Christians' testimony, especially the older ones. And I said it before, I'll say it again, I'll say it on my dying deathbed. If it fizzles at the finish, it was faulty from the first. Is it real faith? Paul says this. No, I'm sorry, it was the Apostle John said this. Return to your first love for Christ. Get back in the race. Because the last thing I want to say this morning is this. This is good news for us as we get older. Every race has one thing besides obstacles. It has a finish line. Oh, there's an end to every race. There'll be an end to this game today they play called the Super Bowl. At some point in time, they're going to call quits and say, okay, this guy won. I don't care how many overtimes it takes, sooner or later they find a winner. There's an end to every race. Every game has a final buzzer. Our boys saw that in the tournaments. They kept stalling the ball, passing around, and finally the clock quit ticking. The game was over. Every life has a last breath. Yours does, mine does. Haven't got it yet because guess what? There it was, another one. long as I have breath, I'm still in the race. The question is, will you cross that line? Will you finish the course? Will you beat the buzzer and breathe your last breath here and your first breath in heaven? Maybe today you know you're not even suited up. Maybe you realize you're still lost. You're in the church, but you're not a heaven-bound saint. God has a track suit with your name on it. He has a race course laid out specially for you. Put on your robe of righteousness and start the training for the race. Perhaps you would acknowledge maybe that you've been on a park bench too long. And now this is the hardest part about getting off a park bench. I noticed that when I was sitting right over there. Duke says, and now I want to introduce to you. And he thought, oh gosh, he's going to make me stand. Pastor Clark, I stood up and I got dizzy because I always do. I got to wait till my heart pumps once or twice. Took a deep breath. Then I was fine until I got right up here and I thought, oh no, I got to go up those three steps. Grabbed onto the pulpit and pulled myself up. You know why? Only one reason. I wanted in the race. I don't care how hard it is to get up or get moving or climb some steps. What's more important to me than the pain is the gain of running the race. Oh, won't you run the race? I'm 71 years old. I keep telling everybody I'm 29, but nobody will listen. I'm ready probably to start the last leg of my race. Perhaps. Looking pretty good for that. Maybe a good 16 years left. One more giddy up. You know, your church could use some prayer warriors in the race. Your church could use some more teachers. Your church could use some people to fill up the holes, to input the music if necessary, to type the bulletins if necessary, because you're going to have some holes to fill. That might be your race. Your church could use some more greeters and ushers and maybe some more janitors. She could use some technicians, not just in the sound booth. People that will know how to turn on lights and turn off lights so we don't have to do it. Your church could use some good givers because some of your good givers are going to go. Your church can always use some witnesses. But each course is a little different. And only God can tell you which is the course that you're supposed to run. But one thing we have in common, each one of us has the same finish line. And when we cross it, there's no going back, no do-overs. Can I get in that race again? If I had only known it was going to be this good at the end, I'd have run more. Too late. My plea today is, won't you get back in the race? 20 years from now, only a handful of people will even care about or remember who won the Super Bowl. There'll be sports addicts will care. Maybe some people in the town that won, they'll still have bragging rights. It took us 108 years to win the pennant in Chicago. But you know what? 10 years from now, they'll be bragging on some other schools, some other churches, some other teams that have won. But 20 years from now, will you be able to say, I finished the course. I ran the race God laid out for me. I promise you many will remember the race you ran. Your family will. Your church people will. So you need to run the race so as to win the prize. Well, what is the prize? A smile on Jesus' face. See, you already got salvation. That's not the prize. You don't run the race to get saved. You got that prize to begin with. You run the race for one reason only, to look at a smile on Jesus' face, and any crowns of victory you won in the race, you're going to cast at his feet because you couldn't have done it without him. Stand with me. We're going to pray. And I know this is hard because when I stood up, it was hard. It's going to be hard for you to stand up. I know that. And right now, would you in your hearts commit, now that I'm standing, that was the hard part, I'm going to get in the race. If you're lost and don't know Jesus Christ today, get in the race. If you're a Christian, you've been on the bench too long, get in the race. If you're in the race but you've been thinking about dropping out, stay in the race. That's your invitation today. Father in heaven, look down upon us on our racetrack. We've stumbled a bit. We've fallen down. We've asked for more training, and some of us got it. We see obstacles as so big and the finish line so far away. But Lord, you called us to the race. And what you call us to, you always equip us to do. So draw to this altar those who want in the race, who want Jesus as Savior and Lord, who want to show thee Savior and Lord by getting involved again in prayer and Bible study and worship and witness and ministry. Get us up off the bench. Put us in the game, God, that you would get glory through your church. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a little while. There's not a lot of us here, but just enough. To be honest, you need to get in the race. If you know you're in the race, be praying for the rest to get in the race. Because though we run the race alone, individually, we also are in a race as a church to finish the work. And we have to do our part to get that done. What's God asking you this morning? He'll never ask you something you can't do with his help. He'll ask you to do stuff that you can't do on your own. But he'll always ask you to do something that he can help you with. What's he calling you to today? Won't you come? Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, for the work of Jesus on the cross, for the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts that drew us to that cross and convinced us when we were righteous. We thank you the Holy Spirit constantly leads and guides us where you want us to be. Give us the will, God, to do it. Help us to pray for each other and with each other. And Lord, continue to grow our church the way you want it to be. Continue to grow us as individuals the way you want us to be. As we go to our Bible studies, oh God, would you bless the Bible study teachers in the children's department, the adult department, in the youth. Lord, bless our Spanish ministry. Continue to add to their numbers as they get so excited about the baptisms that are ahead for them. Lord, continue to bless the ministries of the food bank and the resale shop and the biker ministry and Next Step. And all the different ministries this church has. Lord, thank you what you're doing in the school, but continue to bless it spiritually as those kids had revival this year. Continue saving kids. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of being part of a church that's in a race. Help us to win it now for your glory. Go with us now to our Bible studies in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good Bible study.